I wish every person in the world could be in this building tonight and be a part of a service like this. We've had a great day so far. Beth Hearn was baptized this morning. We've had good attendance. We have so many of you that are back with us that we've been missing for the last few weeks. So many great things. Great singing. That's some of the best singing. If a preacher can't preach after a song like that, he might as well quit. Don't comment on that right now. But that's great singing, fine prayer, so many things that we have for which we ought to be thankful. I just wonder if there's any people anywhere in the world that has a combination of blessings and opportunity any greater than ours. It ought to be humbling to us, and yet it means so much to us. You know, one of the greatest needs we have is a feeling of security. And if we're going to have that feeling of security, there must be the right kind of protection. Sometimes as we're facing illness, and as some of you are facing surgery this week, there'll be the comment, well, at least I have the protection of the insurance. We may talk about our police force or our firemen and the fire hydrants where they are. Even the insurance company will ask so that they'll know the possibility of protection when there's a problem. When we're little, having our dads and mothers nearby or someone whom we trust by gives us a feeling of security because we know that that protection is there. Tonight I want us to think about the cloud of protection. And again, I emphasize to you in the passages that we shall read, though the word cloud is used in both of the ones that we'll use as a text, that the cloud is somewhat insignificant, that it's the protection that's being talked about. I want us to look at two passages of Scripture, go back and analyze those two passages of Scripture and draw some conclusions. The first is in Exodus 14. The second in 1 Corinthians 10. In Exodus 14, verses 19 through 21, the angel of God which went before the camp of Israel removed and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all the night and made the sea dry land, and waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. I think all of us are familiar with that story enough that we could go back and at least quote in essence what is being said in this passage. Over in the New Testament, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning at verse 1, it has to be this occasion that we've just read about in Exodus 14 to which reference is being made. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Brad, there's a case where the baptism is being mentioned into something dealing with that that's not with the church, as Brad was talking about this morning. And then in verse 11, now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Verse 13, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. Is not Paul saying that being reminded of what happened at the crossing of the Red Sea gives us reason to believe that we have God as our protector today? I believe that's exactly what he's saying. We go back to the Old Testament a great deal, and rightly so. Some of the greatest lessons are learned when we go back and see the proper setting in Old Testament times. But I think sometimes we may overlook one of the important reasons for going back to the Old Testament. Those of us who preach, particularly those of us who preach, have a tendency to emphasize the examples of the Old Testament to prove a doctrinal point. And many times that can be done, as we see the principle of the matter in the Old Testament followed into the New, and even though the circumstances are different, the principle is the same. Sometimes we'll give you examples to show that God means do when he says do, and he means don't when he says don't, and he means don't substitute when he's given a specific. But you know that verse that we often quote in Romans 15:4 has another point in it that we sometimes overlook. The things written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. And I think sometimes, especially, we preachers are guilty in not going back to the Old Testament and finding the comfort is there. Now, I'm not suggesting that we quit the other point either. We need to go back to the Old Testament for principles and teach those as far as doctrine is concerned. But some of the greatest ideas that can give you and me security tonight and help us to understand how great God is and how much he cares for us is to go back and see how he cared for his children in old times and receive the comfort that comes from the Scriptures. Now let's go back to Exodus 14. Again, I realize that you could tell the story, but you know that the children of Israel have just come out of Egypt. They've just followed Moses after they've had the 10 plagues, and finally Pharaoh has given in to let them go, although he changes his mind almost immediately. 603,750 men, I believe it is, above 20, indicating a group of people of about 3 to 3.5 million, maybe, are camped here as they're in the process of leaving Egypt. If you look at the first few verses of chapter 14, you'll find where he says they're camped near the sea, verse 2. And then you come on down a little bit further in the next verse, verse 3 and verse 4, he says they were entangled in the land and the wilderness had them shut in. They did not have any ships or boats that they could go across this sea like we might have today. And then as you come on down a little bit further, about verses 9 and 10, they looked around and here's Pharaoh and his armies behind them. Now you sometimes hear the idea presented between a rock and a hard place. That's exactly where they were. They looked to the east and here's the Red Sea and no immediate way of crossing that as they reasoned from man's standpoint. And they look back and they see the Egyptians, and believe you me, they know the Egyptians. These are the ones that have had them as servants. These are the ones who changed the rules, even to where they had to get their own straw for the brick on some occasions, you remember. They know the wealth. They know the power. They know the soldiers. They know the weapons of the Egyptians. And here are God's people. And though they had been able to bring several things with them from Egypt, you can just imagine that their weapons were almost nothing. And they're facing the Red Sea in front of them and the pursuing army of Pharaoh behind them. Now they needed some help. They certainly needed some security that they did not feel as they looked at it at that time, because the Bible says they were afraid. They needed some help. God said, Moses, you tell them, I'll save them. And here's how I want you to do it. You take your rod and hold it over the Red Sea, and you smaller boys and girls remember that story, how Moses held his rod out over the Red Sea and the walls of the water went back. I never remember seeing but one movie while I was a student at Freed Hardeman. We thought a trip to Jackson then was like going to Washington, D.C. Things have changed a little bit since then. But we went to Jackson and saw the Ten Commandments. And we saw the rolling back of those waters. And I could close my eyes and see it as though it were tonight. And I checked into it, and they told me they did that with glass walls and tons of jello in the movie. Now, God didn't do it that way. That's in the movie. But can you just imagine what God was telling them, what he said through Moses to them? You stand still and know. Be still and see the power of God. I'm going to save you. I'm going to give you the security that you need. I'm going to protect you. And notice what's said there about the cloud. I announced the sermon as the cloud of protection and the clouds involved. The cloud that had been before them now goes behind them and stands between them. I want you to get those three words that start with B. The cloud was before them, and we've already had a lesson on the leadership with that cloud. Now it stands behind them for protection. and between them in their and their enemy for protection. The cloud of protection. And that cloud stood there, God providing the means where there could be the separation between his children and the children from Egypt, the soldiers from Egypt. That cloud stood there until what was necessary to happen up front took place and God's people could march across the Red Sea. And as we come down to the end of the chapter, we find the same people who feared the Egyptians in verse 10 now fear God with respect in verses 30 and 31. Now with that story fresh in mind, let's go back to 1 Corinthians 10. Paul has a reason for telling these folks about this story, and that reason comes to its conclusion in verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation provide a way of escape. Paul is saying to the church at Corinth in the same way that Moses said to the children of Israel, God will make a way that you can be protected. And when we believe that, we have a sense of security that cannot be found anywhere else. That's the sense of security that's described, for example, in Philippians 4:6. That says, the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. There is that security because of the protection that we have in the same God that put that cloud between his people and those who were pursuing after them. Now let's make some observations. In the first place, the children of Israel in Exodus 14 were facing a difficult time. No question about that. The sea was in front of them. The enemy was behind them. You and I, on January the 5th, 1992, are facing some times that may be difficult. When we look about us, we see things that concern us. When we look at our country, we see the problems with the economy. We see the growth in crime. We see incidents being reported. Even now in our neighboring city of Jackson and in the counties, there was a list today of the murders that have taken place in the counties surrounding us. We see all of these things about us. And yes, we would agree that there are problems. There are problems that exist in this world. There are problems that deal with morals. There are problems that deal with doctrines in the church. There are problems that deal with so many things on every hand. And if you and I were to look to the east, as the children of Israel did, we'd see problems. If we look to the west, we'd see problems. We are surrounded with difficulties. We are not unlike the one that, I believe it's Asaph, that wrote Psalm 73. He said, when I looked around and I saw all of these things existing, and in many instances it seems like the evil are making progress and God's people are not, he said, I felt like I was standing on slippery places, trying to climb up on a slick creek bank and making one step forward and sliding two back, as the song suggests. He said, until I went into the sanctuary of God, verse 17 of Psalm 73. He said, then I began to understand they're the ones who are on slippery places. And if we're on God's side, we have a rock. We have something where we can stand. We are surrounded by problems, no doubt about that. The children of God were afraid. They saw the enemy. And in verse 10, they were looking at the enemy only through human eyes. They had not taken into consideration God and his part, it seems, at that point. And the Bible says they were sore afraid. They were looking back to Egypt. Some of them even said, well, Moses, you brought us out here. We could be back in Egypt and at least be alive and at least have something to eat. They were beginning to look away from God and to look to themselves and to their former circumstances for an answer. No wonder the scripture says in that verse that they were sore afraid. But notice in the next place that God's protection was there for them. That very cloud that had been before moved behind and in between and stood to protect them from those that were behind them. God's power came between his children and the enemy. Now notice that. God's power came between his children and the enemy and made a clear distinction and a clear separation. 1 Peter 1:5 says, our inheritance is kept. God protects it. We may turn our backs on him, but he won't turn his back on us. Jude verse 24 says about the same thing, that all of this is in the hands of God. 2 Timothy 1:12 is where Paul says, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. And there's that series of questions in Romans 8 that starts out by saying, if God be for us, who can be against us? And who can condemn us? And who can take us away? Who can hurt us, in other words? And the answer comes clearly in those last few verses. Nobody can, as long as we have the cloud of God's protection with us. God was there to protect his children against the difficulty. And it's rather interesting that the same cloud which illuminated their way before them defended them behind and eventually led them to safety. And today, that which illuminates us with the truth, God's word and all the blessings associated with it, is the very same thing that can stand for our protection and eventually lead us to safety. The cloud gave them light while it gave the Egyptians darkness. And in many ways today, God's word that gives us the light when we turn to it is darkness to those who turn away from it. And the very blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on the cross for our protection and the event that brought that about is what will also bring about the fact that those who do not become a part of God's people will be lost. It's this cloud of protection that also makes the distinction. The protection was for those who were among God's people. Don't overlook that. The protection was there for God's people, and a clear distinction was made. Those who are in the world, Ephesians 2:12, must be made nigh by the blood of Christ, verse 13, and be in Jesus Christ, where all are one and at peace with him. And those who are outside of that safety have no promise of protection. Come ye out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, 2 Corinthians 6:17. And then he says, when you do that, I'll be your father and you'll be my children. He's saying, I will protect you. I'll take care of you if you keep yourself as a part of God's children where you ought to be. God's children were protected by the cloud. The Egyptians were shut off by the cloud. A clear distinction was made. The blood of Jesus Christ today shields us from all the problems that exist in the same way that the cloud of protection shielded the children of Israel on that occasion. That blood not only forgives all our past sins, 1 John 2, 1 through 2, but continues to forgive our sins, 1 John 1, verse 7. And Christ becomes our propitiation. He becomes our shield. He becomes our protector. And although I think there's not a one of us here tonight who can understand this completely, that protection involves more than just the forgiveness of sins. It involves the fact that he's with us, that he's promised never to leave us, Hebrews 13, verse 5, that he's promised to be there to help us with our burdens and our cares, 1 Peter 5, verse 7. The blood of Christ and all that's associated with that becomes that protector for us to the extent that Jesus was able to say in Matthew 10, 28, even if somebody can take your life, you don't have to be afraid, as long as he can't take your soul. You have that protection in Jesus Christ the Lord. The results of the protection in Exodus 14 are interesting, and they are exactly the same results for those who trust in God today. The fear of the problems that surrounded them turned the children of Israel to trust. The trust then led them to obedience, and the obedience led them to safety as they stepped into that place in the middle of the sea where the walls were standing back and obeyed the command of God to go across it. And then that safety was provided by the Heavenly Father, and as we might say today, by his grace. God said in Exodus 14 before the event happened, Moses, tell the children of Israel, I'll save them. And after it happened, he said, Moses, remind the children of Israel that I saved them from their problem. And yet notice, he did not save them by picking them up and setting them over on the other side. He saved them and protected them by providing a way of escape. God did exactly in Exodus 14 what Paul says he'll do in 1 Corinthians 10:13. He provided a way of escape. He put the cloud there to block the enemy until there was time. He opened up the Red Sea and gave them an opportunity for them to go across. And when they were on the other side, closed the Red Sea back in on their enemy, and they were safe on the other shore. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10:13, God will provide a way of escape. Now, he didn't say he'd push you and me through it. He didn't say he'd pick us up and put us over on the other side. But he said no matter what the problem is, and I think this is an appropriate time for us to emphasize this as we go into this new year, a new semester, so many new things before us. He said, I'll promise you this. I'll make a way of escape. I will protect you to where you can do exactly what they did then. If we looked through our own eyes and left God out of the picture, I think we would tremble today at all that's happening in the world. But when we turn to God, that very fear itself leads us to know we must trust in Him. And that trust in Him then leads us to obedience, to be willing to submit ourselves, to be buried with Him in baptism for the remission of sins, and to live for Him, recognizing it's all by His grace that provides that way, but that we have to take advantage of it. And that trust that leads us to obedience can lead us across even the valley of the shadow of death, across the river of death itself, to where we too can be safe on the other shore and live with God for an eternity. Children of Israel were afraid. But when they turned to God, they saw the cloud of protection. That cloud that had stood before them now stood behind them and between them and their enemy until they had time to take advantage of the way that God provided for them to escape. And they marched across the Red Sea and escaped from their enemies and were on their way to the promised land on the shore on the other side. And folks, I say to you tonight that the same God that provided that cloud of protection for them provides the blood of protection for us. But it's in Christ Jesus and nowhere else. If you had been there on that day in Exodus 14 and you'd been behind the cloud, what would have happened to you? Only those in front of it had the protection. You weren't there, but you're here. And some of you are not among God's people in front of the cloud of protection. But you are behind it in the world, and there's no promise of protection there. The good news is you can be with God's people right now, together we stand and sing.